Jesus said, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated as we join in singing, Holy Father, Thou hast taught me. Together, Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. I ask each of you in the presence of God who searches the heart, do you confess that you have sinned and do you repent of your sins?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed you from all your sins and do you desire forgiveness in his name?
I do.
Do you intend with the help of the Holy Spirit to live as in God's presence and to strive daily to lead a holy life, even as Christ has made you holy?
I do.
Christ gave to his church the authority to forgive the sins of those who repent. Therefore, upon your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And on behalf of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you.
Amen.
Please rise as we pray alternate verses of Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God,
and the firmament proclaims his handiwork.
Day to day pours forth speech,
and night to night declares knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words.
Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun,
which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy,
and like a strong man runs his course with joy.
Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them,
and nothing is hid from its heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned.
In keeping them there is great reward.
But who can detect their errors?
Clearly from hidden faults.
Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me.
Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you.
O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore.
God in the highest,
and on earth
seated at the right hand of God the Father. Have mercy on us, for you alone are holy, you alone are Lord, you alone are Christ with the Holy Spirit, now most high in the glory of God the Father.
Our first reading this morning we find in Isaiah chapter 50, reading from verse 4 to 9. It talks about the obedient servant of the Lord. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading, found in James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. This is about the taming of the tongue. And when I read this first, I realised that this is certainly true. If you listen to this, it certainly is true and does happen. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with great strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistake in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It strains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue. A restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
to St. Mark, reading from chapter 8, verses 27 to 38.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Hello. Good to see you again, Delilah. How are you going, children? Hello, Luna. Ariana and Melody and Harper. Okay, I need to keep practicing and dance. And Jason? Yes, okay. One very, very important. Okay, what have we just had yesterday on the television, if you follow footy at all? We've had the semi-finals of the AFL, haven't we? Okay, at Adelaide Oval last night, Western Bulldogs played against Port Adelaide. And there were lots and lots of fans there cheering them on. Okay, so that's one thing. To be fans is to support something. Okay, now I know Mr. Lorkey, see Mr. Lorkey over there, put up your hand and wave Mr. Lorkey. Make sure you say hello, Mr. Lorkey, Jesus loves you, okay? Mr. Lorkey is a fan of gemology, is that the best way to say it? Gemology. Mr. Lorkey loves going to a club to meet with friends who have similar interests, and they talk about rocks and stones and gems and all of those sort of things that God put in his creation for us to enjoy. So Mr. Lorkey is a fan of gemology. Mr. Lorkey's son's not here, younger Mr. Lorkey, okay? He really loves trains. And he has shown me some amazing trains. My goodness, he has shown me some amazing, amazing old steam trains and all sorts of... He's a fan of trains. Pastor Greg is a fan of Bruce Lee. Okay, Bruce Lee was a Chinese-American martial artist who died in the 1970s. But I find him a very interesting person. I'm a fan of Bruce Lee. Harper? Ah, Bruce Wayne, that's right. That's his alter ego, isn't it? Batman and Bruce Wayne in the city of Gotham, that's right. So are you a fan of DC or Marvel Comics? Yeah, okay. But can any of those things save your life? Can gemstones save your life? Can Batman save your... Well, sort of in comic world. Can train save your life? Can Bruce Lee save my life?
Yeah.
No, he can't. He's dead.
Maybe it's for the Justice League, your friends. And he never... And he fell over and he...
Okay. So we can be fans of something, and that's okay. We like to follow things, and we like to watch them, we like to support them. But to be a follower means to walk exactly in the footsteps of, to breathe in that whom or which we follow. So Jesus asked us to follow him, take up our cross and follow him. Now there's one thing that Bruce Lee is famous for saying when he was being interviewed on television. He talked about be the water, and he talked about when you pour water into a cup, it takes the shape of the cup. When you pour water into a teapot, it takes the shape of a teapot. So what I would like you to do is pour yourself into the cross and take the shape of Jesus. Then you're being a follower, okay? You follow Jesus, you rely on Jesus to provide everything you need, and you know that Jesus can save your life. Is that good news? Absolutely. So we can be fans of Jesus as well, but let's be followers of Jesus, okay?
Steve is a boy turned to Robin with Batman with Scott and Joker and
Ribbon. Batman and Robin. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I call them? Flatman and Ribbon. Okay. Alright, let's pray. We've just heard great news, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all sorts of things that we are interested in following you. Being fans of, and we love you and thank you for giving us those things to be interested in, to entertain us. But Lord, we really want to be followers of Jesus. Lord, we want to pick up our cross and follow in your footsteps, because we know that if we follow in your footsteps, it leads to everlasting life with you. And I can think of nothing more glorious, Lord, than living with you forever. So Jesus, be with us, sustain us by your holy word, and pour us into the shape of the cross so that people know that we are Christians. In your holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, children. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Harper, Jasmine. Okay, let's confess who we believe God to be using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please join in singing, Lord, Speak to Me. Grace and peace to you from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Saviour, whom you sent to take away the sin of the world. Lord, help us always to bear our cross and follow him. Send your Holy Spirit to help ward off temptation. And Lord, through your word, help us to hear your fatherly comfort. Be with us now, Lord. Open our ears and our hearts. Pour in your holy word to upbuild us, to keep us in the faith, and to reassure us of your return at our last day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. There are moments when I wonder if the only thing that unites people today is disillusionment. It seems to be a common disease we all suffer from. Hands up if you're disillusioned with our political leaders and the current state of affairs. Hands up if you're disillusioned with the lack of economic or employment opportunities. Hands up if you're disillusioned with the prospect of ever owning your own home. Hands up if you're disillusioned with endless wars and violence, prejudice and oppression, religion and the church. Hands up if you're disillusioned with disillusionment. Oh, hang on, now I'm confused. I suspect disillusionment is the main thing that influences how people in this country vote at elections. That mob's been in too long. I'm sick of the sight of them. I'm going to vote for the other mob this time. I reckon they'll do a better job. Do they? Ever? Behind the vitriol of political advertising and spin doctoring lies disillusionment. It's what drives all these movements we're currently inundated with. It's what makes us heartbroken and angry about scandals in the church. Disillusionment is all over the media. Disillusionment creeps into our own conversations. It's easy to recognise in the decline of church attendance and the church's influence on societal values. Disillusionment happens when the story we've told ourselves, on which we've based our lives, to which we've wholeheartedly committed ourselves, no longer makes sense, is no longer relevant, no longer works, or is no longer true. Disillusionment is that no man's land between when we've lost faith in the old familiar story but haven't yet embraced a new one. It leaves us panicked and fearful about the future. The world feels like a dangerous and chaotic place. Everything's out of control and somebody needs to do something about it. Sound familiar? Do you ever find yourself in the twilight zone where nothing makes sense? However, disillusionment isn't only about what's going on around us. It begins in here, inside us. It's a spiritual issue. And it's one Peter knows well. In today's gospel, Peter is a poster boy for disillusionment. Peter confesses Jesus as the Messiah. He has a particular story about who the Messiah is and what the Messiah should do and be about. Jesus, on the other hand, rewrites Peter's story. The Son of Man, he says, must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. So much for Peter's expectation of the Messiah. He neither expects or wants what he hears Jesus declaring. So he takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. In Matthew's Gospel, we hear what Peter says to Jesus. God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. Peter obviously knows better than Jesus. Can you imagine Peter's bewilderment? With the same tongue, in the same conversation, Peter confesses and Peter rebukes. He's speaking with a forked tongue, or as otherwise expressed, out of both sides of his mouth. James describes exactly this in today's gospel, as Merv alluded to and then read to us. If you hang around me for any length of time, you'll likely hear blessing and cursing coming from the same mouth. With the tongue, James says, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. The forked tongue is a symptom of our internal division, and we project this division onto the world outside. We reveal our discontentment and disillusionment, and we reveal our arrogance. More often than not, our disillusionment comes with the arrogance that we know exactly how things should be done in order to get XYZ outcome. My brothers and sisters, James continues, this ought not to be so. We know that, don't we? James states the obvious, this ought not to be so. Hands up if you've never broken the eighth commandment. It's so easy, isn't it? We should frame that one, stick it on our fridge. Our disillusionment isn't an excuse to curse or rebuke others. It's not a basis for claiming we know better than others. And it's not a reason to treat others as less than ourselves, especially when they've been created by the same loving God who created and loves us. And arrogance can quickly lead to self-assertion. We can see that in Peter and his rebuke of Jesus. I'm not criticizing or judging Peter, rather I'm recognizing and identifying my own disillusionment, my own arrogance, my own self-assertion. I can be very difficult to get along with when I know I'm right and they're wrong. You should hear how I carry on when I'm watching the State of Origin. Best rugby league ref ever I am. Hands up if you're an armchair expert like me. I reckon we've got a lot of mates. Jesus has no time for Peter's arrogant self-assertion, nor mine. Get behind me, Satan, he says. Doesn't that hurt? Those are the same words Jesus spoke during his temptations in the wilderness. Jesus hears Peter's rebuke as a temptation to be less than who he is, and as a distraction from what he is really about. Isn't that true for us too? Disillusionment tempts us to be less than who we truly are. To be arrogant and self-assertive. To lose sight of what we're really about. We often put our story before God's, give more credence to what we see than what God sees, and believe our story to be more real than God's story. Isn't that what Peter's done? Isn't that what's going on in the conflicts we have with others, in the times we assert ourselves and ignore others, in our words and actions of violence? In our disillusionment, we can quickly and easily betray ourselves, each other, and God. Yet, despite what the prophets of doom say, the world is not coming to an end, falling apart, or going to hell in a handbasket. It didn't for Peter, and it's not for us. The truth is, we don't understand what's happening, and we feel scared, angry, confused, like we're losing control. The old story of power and self-assertion no longer fits. It never did. But we heard that story and told it to ourselves enough times that we believed and invested in it. Saints, we need to embrace a different story. Jesus gives us a new story, He is the new story. His is a story of self-denial. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. In other words, become like him. Follow his way. It's not just a story that Jesus tells, it's the story he lives, and if any want to become his followers, it must become their story. So what does that mean for us? Self-denial is about separating ourselves from the things we often use to define ourselves. Political persuasion, national identity, economic employment and social status, family background, even religion. It's about redefining ourselves, our priorities and our beliefs to be more in line with those of Jesus. Self-denial is the key to loving our neighbour, loving our enemy, loving God, and even loving ourselves. That's one of the hardest bits I find most people struggle with, loving themselves. You're created in God's image. So I said to the kids, make sure you say to Mr. Lord, hey, Jesus loves you. Because he does, loves all of you. Self-denial is what makes space for other people and recognises their lives as being equally important as and sacred as ours. It means re-examining our beliefs and attitudes about who we are, who others are, and who God is. Self-denial means not taking ourselves more seriously than we take God. Finally, and paradoxically, self-denial frees us to be alive. Dear friends, maybe self-denial is the medicine we need to cure our disillusionment. God bless you all in the name of Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together in singing The Servant King, during which our freewill offerings shall be gathered.
Worship to you.
Name of his Son, so that we may be instruments of him who sent us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving up your Son to suffer and die on the cross for us and for all people. Thank you that we are able to look on him there and see your love for us. Help us follow him as Lord and Saviour, bearing the cross of faith itself and the difficulties we experience because of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for your church throughout the world. Help it understand the way you bring salvation through the cross. Help it to be patient as it struggles to remain faithful to the way of the cross. Keep its teaching pure in the face of temptations to look for glory, strength, and success in visible worldly terms where you have not given it. Help it live by faith rather than by sight. And we pray for your mercy and strength to be upon our Bishop John and our District Bishop David as they labour for your people in your church. By your Holy Spirit, lighten the load of the cross that they bear for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the nations of the world to live at peace with one another and bring relief to those in refugee camps and in detention. Have mercy on those in need, those who are struggling because of domestic violence and breakdown, those who are suffering from harmful behaviour and hurting relationships, those who cannot control their tongues, and those who do not learn from your discipline. Heal, restore, and renew, good Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all the students and staff of our local schools. Watch over those students who are about to enter into their final term of studies and as they prepare for their exams. Thank you that we are able to access good quality education in this country, and help us to help others who are less fortunate. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick, those who are disabled, those in hospital, those facing death. Show them the light of the gospel. Provide helpers and carers and medical resources, and heal both body and soul. Meet the needs of all those we know personally to be in want, and whom we now name silently in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we lift up before you our dear brother Colin Clough, who has undergone surgery in recent days. We give you thanks, Lord, for the healing miracle of your doctors, nurses, and other medical people who care for patients in hospital. We thank you for bringing Colin through that surgery, and Lord, in his convalescence now, remind him that you are with him, that we love him, that you love him, that you care for him, and that you will restore him in health, that he may return to his place of abode and worship you as he did so lovingly here playing the organ. We also give you thanks for bringing Jason Wandle through his course of treatment, and we're excited, Lord, about his prospects for the future. Lord, what a mighty act of healing you have performed it again through your healing agents on this earth. Lord, remind Jason and Jason's family of your presence with them, of your love for them. Remind them that they are created in your image. Heavenly Father, we also lift up before you our newfound friend, David Moller. Lord, his health has taken a turn for the worse. We pray, Lord, that your hand is working in his life as well, that the doctors will come together and make decisions that serve him best. And Lord, that he will turn to you in all times of need and for thanksgiving and praise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, hear our prayer and bless those who are in need. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
For that is fitting and right.
It is indeed right and good, Lord God, Holy Father, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. On this day he overcame death by his resurrection and opened up for us the way to eternal life with you. And so with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we adore and praise your glorious name, singing,
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory, O Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Together, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Slip into "for thine is the kingdom." That's okay. I do that all the time. Our dear Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin. Grant us your peace. Amen.
The one message I have, I guess, from the gospel today
we live in this sort of zone between what we understood used to work and sort of this new paradigm that we're shifting into. But that's true of all people in all ages. And what helps us bridge that time is Jesus Christ, his word and his sacrament. That's why we come here to worship. In fact, Bonhoeffer said that the greatest form of worship is when the saints gather in assembly and pray to God. And this is where we meet him. This is where we hear him. This is where we consume Christ and become that cross-shaped disciple, follower of Jesus. So come now. Jesus invites you to take him in, to live with him. Come now, for all things are ready. Body of Christ broken for you. Take and drink. This is the precious blood of Jesus shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Amen. body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his holy precious blood strengthen and preserve
you all in body, mind and soul to life everlasting. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy and thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. A light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Bye.
go out in God's peace this week, busy week ahead. Reserve your energy for those working, cooking, helping in any way. And thank you so much for Peter and Kathy Anderson's leadership in this regard. I pray that it's a huge success in terms of selling plants, but more so in terms of fellowship and proclaiming that name of Jesus. Now, there will be a lot of people coming, I hope. Try to slip it in there somewhere. Even if it's go with Jesus when you say goodbye or something like that. Okay? Golden opportunity. God bless you. I'll greet you at the door.